Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, June the 13th. A nice day. I would say a nice day here in the area. Not as warm as recently, but I think it's just a temporary relief from what I understand. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening and what will happen, in my opinion, to many of these cities like Seattle and Minneapolis. There's a very interesting story out there, and I have a post about this coming out Sunday, that truck drivers have basically said, we're not going to go into a city that is a city defunding the police. And it makes a lot of sense when you consider, many of the risks that many of these truck drivers run when they walk into cities, you know, with trucks full of merchandise and so on. But I want to begin with a couple of stories in the news today. The first one, and this is developing, so we'll probably know more about this Sunday night when we do our weekend review with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. But there is apparently a shooting happened in Atlanta today where a black man was shot by the police. I don't really know anything more than that. I don't know who the two officers are. I don't know if they're white or black or whatever. But apparently it's a controversial situation down there. The details, I guess, are that the man was running from the police and the police felt threatened and they shot him and the man is dead. So you're probably going to hear a lot about this over the next 24 hours. But I don't feel that we have enough information to judge anything other than to give you the headline that a man was shot in Atlanta. I'm sure that the race hustlers are going to take this and blow it out of proportions. But I think we should see the story in full before we jump to conclusions. There's a couple of other stories that I want to talk about. And one of the big ones that is not getting a lot of attention is that the Attorney General and the Department of Justice and different federal agencies are really doing a fantastic job arresting people involved with the riots. They've arrested about 80 people so far. Some of them are high profile people, like the couple in New York City that was going to put a firebomb, I guess, inside a police car. I think they've got videos of them, so they're going to have a heck of a time dealing with that case. But those two could spend the rest of their life in jail because that's a pretty high crime. And they're young people. They're in their late 20s, both of them. Actually, both of them are attorneys. I have no idea what they were doing trying to blow up a police car, but, you know, people can be pretty stupid when they're out in the streets with other people. But those two are going to spend a lot of time in jail, and these other 80 that they've arrested, and they're looking for a lot of people. They're quietly, you know, digging up a lot of information, and they're quietly arresting a lot of people. And I think this is going to, you know, my sense, and we'll have more information on this, I suppose, as the weeks go by, but my sense is that the Attorney General is going to blow up Antifa. I really do. Because you're going to have more and more of these people arrested, and they're going to start talking. And they're going to start talking pretty big, because nobody, you know, if you're 27 years old, do you want to spend the rest of your life in jail? I mean, you're 27 years old, you're an attorney. Do you want to spend the rest of your life in jail? I don't think so. So I think a lot of these people are going to start talking, and they're going to start releasing some very important sources that will lead to other sources. And I expect a major breakdown of these organizations. You know, I said it the night that it happened. I was watching it on TV, and I said, the people behind this rioting and this looting went too far. They just went too far. And they extended themselves. They overextended themselves by operating in so many places at the same time. I mean, they were basically riots and looting, and it wasn't just Minneapolis or Seattle. I mean, it was a lot of other places. And I think they overextended themselves. And when you overextend yourself, you make mistakes and you expose yourself to what we're seeing now, which is the police and the federal authorities coming after you and basically, you know, looking for you and finding you. So I think it's going to be a major story probably over the next 30 days as we begin to arrest and learn a great deal more about who exactly these people are and, you know, who was placing those bricks in strategic locations, who was providing the money, who was buying the food, as they like to say. Somebody was transporting these people. Somebody was buying their lunch, and somebody was giving them the tools that they were using to loot and cause destruction. And I think the Attorney General with the Department of Justice and our excellent law enforcement is going to get to the bottom of it. And I don't think it's going to be pretty for those people when we do. Well, there's a story. I have a post coming out tomorrow about this. Truck drivers have made it very clear that something like 77% of them have made it very clear that they're not going to deliver food in cities defunding the police. Now, you can understand why the truck drivers are doing that. I think it's twofold. On one hand, they support the blue. Truck drivers tend to be patriotic guys who support the police. But also, it's their own safety. I mean, you're driving into a town without police or a lawless town, and you've got this truck full of merchandise behind you. Well, you're a target for what we're seeing in Seattle and for lots of things. I mean, we saw a little bit of this during the 1992 riots in L.A., where several truck drivers were literally pulled from their trucks. So the truck drivers are saying, we're not going to go into a town that defunds the police. And I think that's a big message, a big message. I mean, these truck drivers are bringing the food. They're bringing merchandise. They're bringing supplies. And I think this is a huge message to these cities that they are really out of connect, or let's say out of the mainstream, I'll put it that way, with this message of defunding the police. This is about as dumb. This is one of the dumbest ideas that we've ever heard from the left. Now, there's some polls out there that are giving mixed information, okay? There's one that says 55% of the Democrats support defunding the police. I don't really buy that. I've seen polls that are different than that. So, but even if Democrats are in favor of this, I think the overwhelming majority of the country is for funding the police. And all the major Democrat politicians are against defunding the police because I think they understand how idiotic and how stupid it is to defund the police. So it's an issue that I think puts a lot of Democrats in a very tough situation, namely former Vice President Biden, because he's got to get this energy in the party to turn out for him. And if he is seen as being pro-police, I think that's a lot of these, you know, left-wing people in the party. And as I say, they represent a big portion of the party, enough in the party to cause, a lack of interest in the election. I mean, if you get 5 to 10% of Democrats who just don't show up because they're not energized about Biden, that's the election right there. That gives it to Trump rather easily. So thank you to the truck drivers. Let's say hooray to the truck drivers for taking a position on defunding the police, and they can be a major player in this, and I'm glad to see that the truck drivers out there are saying what they're saying. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, June the 13th. We were just talking about the truck drivers refusing, or 70%, a huge majority of them, saying that they're not going to drive into cities that are defunding the police. What is happening to these cities like Seattle and Minneapolis should be huge concern. I mean, huge concern for the citizens of those communities, maybe not in Seattle itself, but the surrounding areas, because you're going to see a lot of these businesses move away, a lot of taxpayers move away, And that's going to make it very difficult for those cities to come back and to be functional cities again. You know, my friend George Rodriguez, if you were listening to Friday's podcast, he said that he worked on back in 1992 when they were looking at L.A. after the riots. And he said that, L.A. never really recovered from the 1965 riots. And in 1992, it went all over again. And in many ways, L.A. has never recovered from any of these things, because these riots and looting are devastating in the sense that business doesn't come back and people who pay taxes move away. And any city needs businesses and people who pay taxes. And if they move away, well, you don't have much of a city. I mean, there's only so many jobs that the government can provide in a city like that. So I hope the people of those cities are in a position to make some changes, because they're not going in the right direction the way it is going right now. Well, let me tell you that I am, like many of you, very upset with this cancel culture that we seem to be living in, where all of a sudden they're canceling this and they're canceling that. Now, just to be honest, I don't watch these police shows, cops or whatever. I don't watch those shows. I mean, I've seen them. I know what they are, but I don't routinely watch them. But they're being canceled, and lots of things with reference to the police are being canceled. And I think it's a terrible mistake by these networks. Because, first of all, as I understand, these shows have very high ratings. I mean, one of the networks, A&E, I think it is, with their show Cops, this is one of their highest-rated shows. So if you think about it from a business standpoint, why would you cancel one of your highest-rated shows at a time when people are cutting their cable bills or their cable connections and looking for alternative ways to look at television? So I don't know, this doesn't seem to me like a very good time to be making enemies or to be, you know, doing away with shows that people watch. So, I mean, many of these shows may end up in other channels, but I think it's very negative to see this happen in this so-called cancel culture. I don't know who's doing this. I don't know who's doing this, but I feel that there's going to be a huge backlash against all of this. I think there's going to be a lot of people like me who are just going to be angry at this cancel culture. The idea that a group of people, somehow appoint themselves as the people who are going to decide what we watch and how we watch it and what kind of content. I mean, that's not what their job is, and that's why you have ratings. And I do feel very strongly that there's going to be a backlash against all of this. And the backlash is coming in November. I am more and more convinced of this all the time. And it's not necessarily going to be against Democrats, because I think some Democrats are level-headed enough to see the insanity of all of this. But I think it's going to be against more liberal Democrats. And Joe Biden better get his act together, because if he gets labeled as one of these people, he's going to lose, and he's going to lose fairly easily, because Trump is going to take this law and order cape, and he's going to fly all the way to re-election with that cape. Martha Washington, the first lady of the United States, was born on this day in 1731. She died in 1802. She died about 3 years after her husband, President Washington, passed away. Martha Washington was not a very public person. In fact, I don't think a lot of Americans back then knew who she was, other than, you know, George Washington had a wife named Martha. It was a different time, of course. The wife of the president didn't get the publicity that she does now. But she was a great lady. She was a great lady. And she and President Washington are buried in Mount Vernon in Virginia. Mount Vernon is where their ranch or their home was. And I've been there. It's actually a beautiful place to go. It's a great place to visit, Mount Vernon, outside of Washington, D.C. And on this day in 1966, in important opinion by the Supreme Court, it came to be known as the Miranda rights, and that's, you know, when the police stops you and they say, you know, you have a right to remain silent. Well, this is where it comes from. It comes from that opinion written by the Supreme Court on this day, 1966, you know, saying you as a person arrested, the police has to tell you have the right to remain silent and get an attorney and all of that. That came about because of this decision in 1966. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Custo in Dallas, and we'll get together again on Sunday night with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. Bye-bye, everybody.